just putting your trust elsewhere and mm-hmm. not having it in God. So I do feel like having anxiety, I don't know, it's
like
bad,
a lack of faith.
Yeah.
It's like lack of faith.
But then sometimes people have anxiety issues and it's not their fault.
Like, you mean like biological issues?
Biologically.
Okay.
They'll get anxious, but it's because of like hormones.
What's going on?
Well, that right there, that type of thing, and then all the things that we're talking about right now, I am not including things that happen biologically.
Okay.
Because some of these things are out of your control. However, those things that are in your control, you're responsible for.
True.
There is responsibility, which is it's something that you must do, or you must say whether or not it was done or not done based on your actions. Then there's accountability. Mm-hmm. Accountability means you have to answer for what was or was not done. Then there's culpability. Culpability means is where the guilt when something is not done is placed. So if you're culpable for something, you're blameworthy. If you're accountable for something, you must answer why it was or was not done. And if you're responsible for something, it is up to you to do the thing. Those mm-hmm. three things, all three of those things kind of mesh together. So the things that you are responsible for, accountable for, and culpable for, that's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Biological things, like if you don't take your medicine because you don't like the color pink and the medicine's pink, yeah, you can be responsible for that. But medical things, you know, those are outside and not what I'm talking about right now.
Okay.
So, when we get back to the love of money, that's where we took our diversion because we were going on a certain direction with this. The love of money, why is it so wrong? The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. It's so wrong because the devotion that we see people giving to money, they will go to work every day to get that check. They will skip sick days when they're sick to be there on that job to get that check. They will not see their family and friends if the holidays don't line up because they got to get that check. They'll check out a church service early for a church, or they won't help people that they could help because they got to get to work. The kind of devotion that we in our country spend on the love of money, that is similar to the kind of devotion that God wants from his kids, his mm-hmm. children every day. You see what I'm saying? It's not like it's something foreign that we've never heard before. It's just that the thing that God wants for us, we so willingly and so often give it to something else. And that's why the love of money is wrong, because we're giving something else God's reverence. When we talked about fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, reverence. Not saying be scared of God, although you kind of should be in a way, but it's saying to reverence God. If you reverence God, you'll do what scared of God do too, except it's part of your nature and it's not negative. It's, you know, what God does is he can take the negative out of all those fruits of corruption. That's the word I was looking for, corruption, instead of fruits of the Spirit. So where there's love, where there's lust, the fruit of corruption, God can turn that into love and show you where the wrong things are. You can let those things go and just have love remain. Or fruit of corruption, anxiety. God can show you where all the negative stuff that's making you anxious is. He can take that away, and you have caution. One must speak with a cautious tongue at times, because you're not trying to give away everything to the enemy. You know? I remember a preacher stood up in front of the church and was talking about our pastor here. He wasn't our pastor at the time. He was just a young man. But when our pastor at the time, you guys' grandfather, the founder of our church and everything, when he got sick, you remember the reverend, the elder came up to you and was asking you about that, you're the founder, mm-hmm. and then he said, I noticed he didn't just answer right away like everybody. He stopped for a minute and he thought about it and he told me, well, he's not available right now. Well, that wasn't lying, But you don't give everything up to everybody, even just because you know them.
Yeah.
You know? And God will take anxiety. Take the negative part out. Leave caution so you know how to look at, so you can judge situations.
Wisdom.
Wisdom. Oh my goodness. He'll take your smarts and turn them into wisdom. Mm-hmm. Smart is being able to judge a situation and do what you want to do. Have the outcome you want to have. Work out of that situation. That's being smart. But God will take your smarts and turn it into wisdom. Now, what's the difference? Somebody tell me what's the difference between smarts and wisdom.
Smarts, you have the knowledge, I guess, facts. Mm-hmm. Basically, when I think of knowledge, I think of facts. Wisdom, you learn how to apply it and use it to your advantage to make decisions.
That's perfect. And for this contest, this context, the easiest way to say it is smarts begin and end with you.
Yeah.
Wisdom begins and ends with God. You know, sometimes, you know, as Solomon said, even with Solomon, I can't even take that from him because at the end of his life, wisdom ended with God still.
Yeah.
You know, he began his wisdom with God. He went a long time with God. He fell away. To the point where his last words written in, was it in Ephesians or Songs of Solomon? I have hated my life. It's all vanity and vexation of spirit. And you're asking yourself, Brother Gerardo, what does this have to do with today's lesson? With Baasha building up Ramah in the face of Asa?
That's exactly what he did, though.
It is exactly what he did. The love of money. Taking what belongs to God and giving it to someone else. What Baasha was defending was the very thing that Jeroboam did. Yeah. Those false idols. We talked about those groves, remember, the high places. Mm-hmm. That's all over Israel now. They're everywhere in Israel. And people are leaving the high places. Mm-hmm. They're coming to God. And when we look at the text here, it's to a point we can assume. I'm telling you, this is an assumption, all right, based on what we have here. It's to the point where the king of Israel can't take it anymore. He has to stop people from leaving Israel and going to Judah. Mm-hmm. And what is his solution? Build a wall. Where have we seen that before?
Rehoboam
did the exact same thing against Israel.
Yeah.
And Jeroboam. But they did the exact same thing against Judah. One thing about not being on God's side, one thing about serving the enemy, you don't learn lessons well. The enemy learns lessons well. He's been watching humanity since the dawn of time. Mm-hmm. And all the way till now, he's seen how people just like you, just like me, react to certain stimuli, certain situations. He can predict behavior because he's been around humans for thousands of years. And all of us, though we feel like we're unique, may be a little bit put off to be told that we are a type of person. But you know, even if Satan can guess your reaction, can he guess God's reaction? Or what, more than that, can he guess how God will take what happens and weave it into the tapestry of his will? What happens that's not in God's will? Does anything happen that's not in God's will? Big question, huh?
That's a big question.
Yeah.
The Bible says that it is God's will that none should perish, but that all should come into repentance. Will all come to repentance? No. So is God's will not being done?
That word should.
Say it again.
That word should.
Should implies what?
There's a choice.
Choice! God has taken one of the most powerful things in the universe and given it to all of us. Choice. Choose. When God speaks in Genesis first chapter, he says, let there be light. A couple, a verse or two down, he He says, let there be a sun and a moon. Did the universe wait for there to be a sun and a moon, for there to be light? Or stars? No, God spoke and the universe reacts to God's voice. Yet God says unto us, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Do we do it?
Sometimes.
We want to. Especially God's children. We hear his voice and we want to do it. But Steve Green's song says what? You want to.
Now will you.
God has given each one of us that thing that the sun doesn't have, that the earth doesn't have, animals don't have it. He's given us a choice. We're the only things in the universe. We're some of the only things in the universe that can actually say no to God. Can you think about that for a second? We can actually say no to God. Now, don't think that that's without consequence. Because Jeroboam said no to God and went about in his own actions, and he pulled Israel out of the temple society. We can call it the temple society. What were the consequences of that? Wars. Unsettled land. Wildness going on. Jeroboam's descendants all the way to Baasha. Baasha's building a wall because of Jeroboam's decision. He's building a wall on the border. Stop people from leaving Israel because of Jeroboam's decision. So as we pass chapter 16, verse 1, we find that Asa, in response to Baasha's building the wall, fortifying Ramah, what does Asa do? How does he react to this?
He goes to his enemy for help.
He goes to whose enemy?
His enemy.
You saying that Asa went to Asa's enemy?
They have the same enemy. Israel's enemy.
Asa went to Israel's enemy, who Israel had a treaty with him, didn't he? Because if that weren't true, he wouldn't have said to Baasha, the king of it. He wouldn't have said to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. Oh, so there's a treaty between Israel and Ben-Hadad, king of Syria. There's a treaty between Judah, Asa, and Ben-Hadad, king of Syria. Did the king of Syria side with Asa or side with Israel?
With this bargain?
With this bargain, yeah.
Asa.
He sided with. Now, what would make him do that?
The gold.
The gold.
Manaman.
The love of money is the root of all evil. Now watch this. Who had the love of money here?
Both.
All of them. You're right. Everybody did. Now where's the evil? Where's the evil?
Love of it.
But what was it? How is it manifested? How do we know that there's evil going on in this situation?
Because first of all, Israel's trying to get to Judah. Mm-hmm. You know, for whatever reason. Judah's trying to keep what it has. So it's going to Israel's enemy, you know, and then Assyria, which is just both of their enemies really saved by those treaties. He sees an opportunity to get some money, so he goes after it. So they're all like operating to keep or get stuff.
Interesting. I'm going to ask you this. Where did the money come from?
The temple.
The what?
Go ahead.
The temple. The king of Judah.
Nothing told him something was wrong with this.
Took the gold and silver from the temple. to bribe the Syrians into dishonoring a treaty that they had with Israel. Well, he had 35 years. That's exact. So many levels of wrong. It's almost as if he was storing it up for this occasion.
It's just, it's disturbing because you wonder why didn't he just go to God? You wonder why, because they had gone back to God. He had tore down those places. They were at peace. But sometimes if you don't stay in it and keep stirring up that thing and strive for deeper depths or higher heights, glory becomes stale to you, and then you don't even access what you already have. You see what I'm saying?
I don't know, I sometimes get too emotionally attached to what's going on because I've become so disappointed because I can see life today in this. And one of the biggest problems is 35 years. 35 years. A year ago, you were fine. Yeah. What happened this year? Well, this is just a fun fact. You got to be at least 35 to be present.
Yes.
That's just random trivia. But 35 years, he had peace. And here's a way of looking at it. We can get to a point sometimes with the peace of God where we think that it's automatic no matter what we do.
Yeah.
And we saw it with Solomon. Solomon, peace. But he started in a way that seemed like, why would you do that? And stuff started happening. Even David. David was a fighter. Man after God's own heart. But then when he went and I won't say what they thought or felt in their heart. I'll say what they did.
Right.
And how it is presented. It is as though you felt like the peace of God would be automatic until Nathan told you, thou art the man. Asa, my goodness, we just got finished putting him up on a pedestal for 35 years. And then somewhere along the line, he felt like this just seemed like too easy now. All the work that he put in, but maybe he thought it's too much of it. Maybe he thought too much and started thinking he should get some glory for the things that he did to honor God. He just put his mother down for building up idols. And then you get rid of all the evidence, but then you go into the temple of God and sell the stuff in there to make a treaty, a dishonest way of doing it so that you can have your will be done.
And it's who he did it to also.
Right.
They don't have a great reputation of respecting God. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's what makes it so sad. You have to be careful lest you think that there's something about you where God has manifested his mercies. He's merciful. You're just a tool. Just like Israel, he had to keep telling them in the wilderness. It's not because you're so great. It's because you're not great that I'm using you. It's because I'm great and people will see my greatness through what I do with you. And if you're not careful, you'll look up and think it's you. Why was he trying to do this stuff himself? Why is he trying to make it? Nowhere in this scripture does it say that he consulted priests, that he...
Right.
Look to God, that he worried and then God wasn't moving fast enough, so then he went to his enemy right away.